USA Today lately. I know anybody's walking through an airport. Did you see this in the airport, Jeff? The USA Today piece on Oprah Winfrey. Divine Miss Winfrey is what it's called. Big piece that came out last week. And talking about Oprah's spiritual influence. Now, this was the kind of thing people were joking about maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. They were talking about the Church of Oprah, and I'd seen some comedy bits on sketch comedy programs where Oprah in the future becomes a leader of her own church. Oprahism or Oprianity or whatever you want to call it. It was the kind of thing people joked about, but more and more people are considering the spiritual influence of Oprah Winfrey seriously. And they're talking about her being the moral voice of the millennium. The moral voice of this third millennium. Or America's pastor, some people are saying. We're going to be talking here in the first hour of Issues, Etc., about a recent USA Today story called The Divine Miss Winfrey. We'll have two guests with us here. One in Studio A, Deaconess Pam Nielsen. She'll be with us in just a few minutes. And then also Deaconess Emily Carter will join us of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Brandon, Mississippi. We'll be talking about the spirituality of Oprah Winfrey. First, we're going to hear a piece from CNN. They dealt with this as kind of an entertainment piece. We'll play that in just a moment. And then, in the second hour of the program, audio open lines. We've got a lot of stuff. I can't even tell you what we have because we've done so much of it. We have so much lined up. It all escapes me. I will remember in time, I promise. Hopefully by second hour, we'll be talking about immigration. Some very interesting comments on immigration from and some response, likening the immigrants to Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus. What would have happened to them under current immigration policy in the U.S.? And then we'll also be hearing a story from Good Morning America. I told you about this yesterday because Gretchen Pasentino of Answers in Action appeared on this Good Morning America piece this morning. And we were somehow informed of it yesterday. I gave you some heads up. We've got the piece to play for you. We'll talk a little bit about demon possession and exorcism. And then John McCain gave a commencement address at Liberty University. That, of course, is Jerry Falwell's university. And apparently they've patched things up. And he's talking about the need to have civil discourse as he prepares to run again for president. It appears he's running again for president in 2008. And then in the third hour of the program, we're going to do a little sermon review. I had talked yesterday about the possibility of doing a Robert Schuller Sunday Mother's Day sermon, but no, we found something better. Kenneth Hagin preaches a sermon on Mother's Day. He has some very odd things to say about the Virgin Mary as a mother, and that'll be in our sermon review coming up in the third hour of Issues, Etc. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're going to be talking about this USA Today story titled The Divine Miss Winfrey with a couple guests, Deaconess Pam Nielsen and Deaconess Emily Carter. But before we talk with our guests, let's hear this piece from CNN. Oprah Winfrey as a spiritual force, even more than her force as a TV mogul. This is Brooke Anderson reporting for Headline News' Showbiz Tonight.
The Divine Miss O.
Hey, CNN.
With what's said to be nearly $1.5 billion in the bank and a TV audience of 49 million a week,
okay,
Oprah Winfrey literally has the power to change the world. She also has a purpose.
A lot of people are looking at Oprah as the new moral leader of the millennium.
And there you have it. Oprah, many people are declaring, is the moral voice of the millennium.
She's our Mother Teresa. She really is, except she's not walking barefoot. She has on some stilettos, but working out.
She is one of those people who has changed the world.
From her perch in Chicago, Oprah tackles the big stuff and takes her audience on a moral journey with her.
I really feel duped.
Oprah publicly going after author James Frey for lying in A Million Little Pieces, a book Miss O turned into a bestseller.
In this day and age, everyone's all about sensationalism and sex sells and sex sells. I would argue that Oprah has found a way to make something like spirituality sexy.
There really is spiritual food that you take away from her show. To me, that's church.
She's not alone. The idea of Oprah as a religion is gaining steam. Showbiz Tonight can tell you college professors have written dissertations on it. Authors have even written whole books on this.
No.
and check out this poll, done in November by the religious website BeliefNet.com. A third of those asked, one out of three, say Oprah has had a more profound impact on their spiritual lives than even their priest, their rabbi, or their pastors. Here's Reverend Run, part of the rap group Run DMC.
She presents that moral image for us all to see.
Barbara Walters has even heard about Oprah, the moral monitor. She asked her about it this morning on The View.
You are now considered a guru?
No, I'm not.
That's a lot of
pressure. I really am just doing the best I can. I feel like I am a woman in progress.
A woman in progress. A woman with a message. A message of charity. Forbes.com tells Showbiz Tonight that Oprah is the most generous celebrity, doling out $52 million to charities last year alone.
She's really taught me that living consciously is the most important thing.
Showbiz Tonight caught up with Oprah's design expert last night. He was just one of the special guests out to celebrate Oprah's Legends Ball, an event honoring influential African-American women.
This was a labor of love. That's all it was.
Oprah spent a year putting the whole thing together.
The most fun I've ever had in my entire life.
Oprah is not ordained, she doesn't preach in the traditional sense, and she doesn't go overboard on religion.
I say, give the people the roses while they live. Don't waste it on the casket.
Still, she spreads a word of generosity, gratitude, and forgiveness.
Oh, if you run for president, I'm voting.
All right, that's a piece from CNN. On Oprah Winfrey, her spiritual influence. Joining us to talk about this here in the first hour of Issues, Etc., Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us here in Studio A. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Pam, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
And also Deaconess Emily Carter. She's Deaconess of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Brandon, Mississippi. Emily, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
It's good to talk to you again.
Okay, Emily, I wanted to start with you and get your response to that BeliefNet.com poll that they mentioned in that CNN piece, where those who view Oprah consider her spiritually more influential than their priest, pastor, or rabbi. What do you make of that, Emily?
I'm quite saddened by it, but then again, I'm not surprised by it.
What doesn't surprise you?
Well, the question I have to ask myself is why do people need Oprah so much? I mean, what void does she fill? And then when you look at what in what terms I can put it into, what gospel does she preach, if you want to call her a moral leader or what if you want to call her America's pastor, what gospel does she preach? And she preaches the gospel of you can do it. Mm-hmm. And so she fills that void. She fills the same type of message that many religions out there already preach. So it's a very easy trap to fall into for many people. It's something they've already heard. And it's very... It's similar to what they're hearing and similar and very much what they want to hear.
Well, Emily, it's obvious that the appeal of Oprah Winfrey, her program, the book she recommends, her persona, is primarily with women. So from a woman's perspective, and I want the same question for you, Pam, when Emily's done, what do you think the particular appeal of Oprah Winfrey as a spiritual leader or guide or something like this is with women?
That you can do it. You're sitting at home all alone, and you've got laundry to do and kids running around you, or maybe at home or at school, you know, your husband's not listening to you maybe, or you don't think he is, but here's Oprah who's willing to cry over everything that bothers you and listen to, or, you know, she's got people who have the same problems you have and she's crying over their problems. Or at least she's got people on her show who have bigger problems than what you've ever faced. And they're, let's face it, they're confessing their sins on public TV. And finding her giving them all this love and acceptance for it. And everything's going to be okay because they're pulling their lives together. And they're going to make it. And she has pulled herself together And she has made herself a wonderful being and a wonderful loving being. And you can do this too.
Pam, same question to you. You've watched Oprah, and the appeal with women is obvious. What do you think the particular appeal with women spiritually is with Oprah Winfrey?
Well, I think she's always been very open with her weaknesses as she perceives them, with the struggles, her personal struggles in life, her struggles to lose weight, her struggles to find herself, to find truth, to know what is right. Those things she talks about freely, and she has shared her quest for these things on the air. Found people who she believes has the answers, brings them on, and they're all just as winsome and attractive as she is. You know, who wouldn't love to sit down with Dr. Phil for an hour? He makes you feel good no matter how rotten you are. And all of the people that she parades on there. There is a real personal appeal about her. And she fits that whole American pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Her personal story of her childhood and the poverty and the suffering that she went through, and now to be not only a woman, but a black woman in America who is worth millions, who now is like a god for many women. Not only do you turn on and you can get advice and answers, but for many people, you get things from this woman, tangible things like cars and makeovers and surgery and trips and whatever.
That was kind of a turning point. And I know Oprah is very generous. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. She is probably one of the biggest philanthropists in the country, I imagine.
That's right.
And she gives a tremendous amount of her hard-earned money and wealth and influence away to other people. She's a generous woman. There's no doubt about it. But, Emily, I noticed a turning point with Oprah when she started kind of becoming a benefactor to women, where she has these special shows that all she does is just give junk away. And it's not junk. It's very expensive, high-priced items. She just gives it away. And the gifts get bigger and bigger and bigger until these women are screaming and weeping all through the show. What's going on there?
You have to go into, you know, I wondered about that too. And I went into her website. If you go to Oprah.com and you start looking through all of her, missions. Type in where it says search and type in mission and look down to November 2004 and find the mission statement for the O magazine of that month. And she talks, we've all heard about it's more blessed to give than receive. And that was the first month that she started giving away the automobiles. And just her statement about what went on about the giving. The giving away of those cars. And she talked about, one thing to understand about Oprah is that she thrives on a religion it's very internalized. Mm-hmm. A very, what we would, as Lutherans, we call it enthusiasm. Because that, and then to define that is without means, without, it comes, it's very internalized. It comes without any anything external, but she sits and meditates, and she feels God on her own. And she said she was so excited, she sat in the closet among her shoes and her purses to feel the moment and to experience God on her own. Because in being able to bless other people, she felt blessed. And that's what drives her.
Do you think, Pam, that for some women, some of her fans, her regular viewers, the people who follow her closely, that Oprah Winfrey, in kind of the catechism sense, whatever you hope in, whatever from which you ever expect good things, is your God, Luther's definition of what a God is, the thing that you place your hope and trust in. Do you think for some women who tune in every day and have to get their dose of Oprah, she has become, in a sense, a god?
I don't know. I don't know any women that are that devoted to her. I have lots of friends who watch her off and on and tune in for certain shows and talk about her. But I think she could be that because she's become such an answer giver. You know, whatever problem, marital problems, health problems, she's got people on who seem to have answers. So people are looking to her for guidance for their lives. And that is what we're to do with Scripture and our Heavenly Father.
We're talking about what USA Today calls the divine Miss Winfrey today on Issues Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest in Studio A. Deaconess Emily Carter is on the phone. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's talk with Lisa in Houston, Texas, listening on the Internet. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I used to watch her, but ever since 9/11, she's been too much. I think she became impressed with her mission to do whatever it is she thinks her mission is. Starting then, even before the cars, and she scares me. The guy on the thing you played said that if she ran, he'd vote. I'd vote, too, for anyone but her.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Emily, your response.
I think you're right. I think one of the things, you know, I did extensive looking into her over the weekend, ever since the article on USA Today came out. And it's hard to be critical of her because she is so generous. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I noticed is, again, if you type certain keywords in, and I typed in spirituality, and she has a pop-up, or one of the things, you can get a pop-up on what are the key things to look for in spirituality. And you get an Elkman, a psychologist named Elkman, has these four key things that a spiritual being is like. And coincidentally, and I'm sure she was very genuine in her assessment of Oprah, Condoleezza Rice on April 30th wrote a testimonial about Oprah that matched almost perfectly all these characteristics. And it's like Oprah has these qualities and characteristics on her website. This is what a spiritual being is supposed to be like. And now there's this testimonial out there of what she is. So she's being held up, and of course all the pages on her website whose face is staring right at you, it's Oprah's. So she's held up as this icon of, here I am, here it's me. This is who I am, and then floating out there elsewhere, attendant to all this, are all these other testimonials that point directly at her. So whether she's doing this consciously, you can't say that she's doing this consciously, but it all directly points towards her, so it leads right back to her. So it begins to give you this feeling that, or it's hard to get away from this feeling that she isn't the moral leader of America or the icon that everyone needs to be looking at.
Diane is calling from St. Louis. Diane, thank you for being patient. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello. Someone very close to me who's 80 years old really likes Oprah, and I think the reason she likes her is that she's down to earth, she's generous, she speaks of forgiveness, all, you know, good Christian qualities, but she takes away the offense of the cross. There's no Christ in that offense. And since she is supposedly a work in progress, let's pray that her progress leads her to Christ.
Diane, good point. Thank you very much. Pam, your thoughts on that?
I agree. You don't hear about Christ. Her gospel, the gospel of Oprah, it sounds good. She uses words that resonate even with Christian people, but she really is her own divinity, her own religion, what seems right to her. And she's parades all different kinds of thinkers onto her show and lifts them up. What seems good, what seems to work for her this time, this month, this this season, and that's anything but the message of the cross and of Christ and the truth. You know, when you look in Scripture, what is truth? My big question about Oprah is, what is her truth? She's a little hard to pin down, I think, because she's kind of picks and chooses what seems right to her.
Emily, do you think that part of her appeal with kind of the average American woman is that she professes to be a Christian? Oprah does. Although I think Pam is right, if you listen to what she says, her beliefs are hardly Christian. But she does profess to be a Christian in some sense, and many women just take her at her word.
Well, see, you've just hit the nail on the head. She professes to be a Christian in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
Her Legends Ball features gospel music, but yet she is pluralistic in her religion. She is about as Christian as Pilate knew what truth was, because she will accept that all paths lead to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, she is pluralistic in her view of God. And, you know, I sat checking up on this business of Fry's book, and I was struck by her first acceptance of Fry's book, you know, that it was redemptive.
Million Little Pieces book.
Million Little Pieces. You know, she liked it because it was redemptive, although, and then, and she first went on Larry King's show and said, even though, you know, it could be partially fictitious, it could still be redemptive, even though it was not totally truthful. And I thought, wow, aren't there a lot of people that say that about Scripture? And isn't that what we say about Scripture when we don't maintain that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father?
So in other words, Fry's book, Scripture, kind of the same thing, because while it might not be true, it can still teach us a little something and kind of give us that little boost in human redemption that we're all looking for.
Exactly. And by having forgiveness without Christ, we are saying that. And she has this forgiveness of self. Forgiveness, redemption, according to Oprah, is you do it yourself.
All right, let's come back to that on the other side of the break. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is with us here in Studio A. We're talking about the recent USA Today story titled The Divine Miss Winfrey. The spirituality of Oprah Winfrey is the topic. And also on the line, Deaconess Emily Carter, Deaconess at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Brandon, Mississippi. Our call-in numbers, you can join our conversation. We're coming to you live this Tuesday. It's the 16th of May, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We have an in-studio email address as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. In a half hour, we'll have audio open lines. We'll listen to all sorts of things, deal with the immigration issue, a little bit on a couple other subjects. And then in the third hour of the program, we're going to do a sermon review on Kenneth Hagin's Mother's Day sermon. That's all coming up later on Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A lot of Christians believe that there's theology and then there's practical Christianity. Is theology impractical? Is sound scriptural doctrine something for the academic or the ivory tower? Our Issues Etc. book of the month for May is called A Theology to Live By, The Practical Luther for the Practicing Christian. This book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. You can find A Theology to Live By at either of the Concordia Publishing House bookstores. The first is at 3558 South Jefferson in the city, the other on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. For more information about A Theology to Live By, The Practical Luther for the Practicing Christian, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or stop by and browse through the book, A Theology to Live By, at one of the two Concordia Publishing House bookstores, 3558 South Jefferson, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton.
A new survey says Americans are pro-life on numerous abortion-related issues.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A new poll has found that Americans support every pro-life law considered on the state and national level and believe life begins at conception. According to the Zogby poll, almost 70% of Americans want to prohibit federal taxpayer funds from being used to pay for abortions. 56% support a 24-hour waiting period. And a whopping 86% say sex selection abortions should be illegal. Why such pro-life numbers? Those who commissioned the poll say the recent confirmation hearings for Justices John Roberts and Samuel Alito may have galvanized undecided voters into the pro-life camp.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. USA Today reported the National Security Agency has records of millions of our phone calls. I'm not so bothered about people knowing things about me. After all, God knows things about me that I don't know myself. At a less cosmic level, yes, there are situations in day-to-day life when others watch us and for our own good. For example, a security camera. What bothers me is that someone will make a wrong judgment about me based on their information. You have probably had to endure performance reviews in which your superior evaluated your work wrong. Or consider this. In Rhode Island, a retiree was reported to Homeland Security because he made a $6,000 payment to MasterCard. Now, the poor guy must have felt so glad to pay down his debt, and now he's a suspect? The Bible warns us against being confident in ourselves before the all-seeing God. Psalm 130, verse 3 says, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?" And at the same time, the Bible is threaded with prayers like this. "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might." Psalm 54, verse 1. How do you go from knowing your guilt to seeking vindication? The answer, Romans 8, verse 1, "There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus."
My wife never did what the world said to do. You know, she just constantly stayed with God. She read her Bible.
On the next Focus on the Family, true stories from the people who live them.
She was praying for me for God to bring me home.
Hear about marriages that have been restored by God's grace next time on Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be a
then
human
how do
being.
You please
and,
God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God. Okay, I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It's not religion, Oprah.
I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It was easy than to tell you from today there is no day or night. Today there is no dark or light. Today there is no black or white. Only shades of gray.
Talking about Oprah Winfrey here on Issues Etc. this afternoon. She is being called the moral voice, the moral leader of the new millennium. And there was a story in USA Today that appeared last week called The Divine Miss Winfrey. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us here in Studio A as we continue our conversation. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. And Deaconess Emily Carter is with us. She joins us from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Brandon, Mississippi. You know, Oprah is a very generous woman. There's no doubt about it. She's generous to a fault by anyone's account. Now, she will bring that generosity with a message of kind of human compassion and human care. But there's more to Christian charity than that. You can be as generous as you want, but if the message is merely, I'm helping you out because you're a fellow human who I find in need, that's good. That helps. But the message won't help anybody. LCMS World Relief is extending your care, your concern for those in need through your generous relief dollars around the world with the message that really does talk about genuine compassion, a concern for both body and soul, not some fluffy spirituality, not some you can do it spirituality, but Christ has done it for you in his perfect life, death, and resurrection, and he's done it for you, a sinner. Now, that's a message of hope to go along with that care that LCMS World Relief provides to so many in so many places. To be part of that, you can call them and donate 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, and you can find out more about LCMS World Relief at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. All right, you'd mentioned before, one of you, I think it was Emily, mentioned that the forgiveness that Oprah talks about is really forgiving yourself. I want you to expand on that, if you would, Emily.
Well, she doesn't offer Christ. It's always a tell what you have done wrong, tell what your problems are, and then, like Pam put it in the terms of pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Name it and claim it. You know, name your problem, claim your cure, and then go after it. And then correct the problem in your life.
So rather than absolution, this is really affirmation.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. You correct the problem. You know, she even talks about, this is what talks about being alone, finding alone time to put herself in connection, filling herself up with herself. This is, you know, re-imaging yourself, re-imaging ourself in our own selves. And then finally re-imaging God in our own image. This is New Age. This is Eastern philosophy.
The odd thing is, Emily, that when pressed upon that point, and she has been by critics for years, that she has a New Age spirituality, Oprah resoundingly responds that she is not New Age. She doesn't push it, and her own spirituality is not New Age. How can this be?
Because it is also very similar and very much akin to old-fashioned, what would you call it? Well, when my husband and I were going through this, he said, you can find this on any street corner. You can find this in the church that runs behind us that says, Christ hasn't done it all. You have to go the extra step yourself.
So it's the rugged American's individualism.
You've got it. You've got it.
Okay, then let's talk about this, Pam. How does Oprah function in this kind of spiritual complex that surrounds her? She says she's, someone said, you're a guru. I think it was Barbara Walters said this morning, you're a guru. She says, no, I'm a woman in progress. That's what she says. How does she in reality function for those who kind of look to her for spiritual guidance? What is she?
I think she's there for people in the here and now, in the moment, whatever their trouble or problem is. She doesn't deal with eternity. She's helping figure out for her own self first how to get through this life day by day with the struggles and problems. And she offers practical advice how to get along with people. But there's nothing eternal about it. There really isn't God in it, this talk of spirituality, but there's nothing to grab hold to except your feelings or your own inner thoughts or whatever. It's very empty, although you might get a solution for the moment, how to communicate with your child who hasn't listened to you for 3 weeks, or how to work things out with your husband. That's practical advice, but it's very empty.
That's the tricky thing, Pam, mm-hmm. because my wife watches Oprah every once in a while, mm-hmm. And the other kind of galaxy of people that she has spawned from her celebrity, Dr. Phil and the others, she'll watch this and she'll say, well, there's a lot of good practical advice in here. I mean, she understands the pitfalls. But you can learn kind of basic human wisdom by watching her. Is that a, while a boon, also a danger with Oprah Winfrey?
I think it can be a danger. I think it causes, there's a lot of navel gazing and a lot of focus on
exactly
the moment and in our present life now. which is important. But in the whole scheme of eternity, this is a blink of an eye. And if we're not talking about forgiveness in terms of Christ and our Heavenly Father and the cross, it doesn't matter for eternity. It helps maybe day to day, but there's a bigger picture here, and she's not getting to. Although in some ways she's leading people away from that bigger picture, their eyes are off of Christ and onto themselves and their problems and fixing those things, and onto people who can give them quick, ready solutions and answers.
Okay, then Emily, somebody says, well, you know, maybe that's the real danger of Oprah Winfrey is, if you can learn how to deal with your kids, your husband, you lose a few pounds, you become a success insofar as you're able to in your career, your life, then you say, now I'm really getting places spiritually.
I'm in progress.
That's old-fashioned holiness living.
That's right.
It's an old-fashioned holiness religion that she's promoting. It's all packaged up in this brand new package in $1,000 shoes. I looked it up on the web. That's what they cost. But anyway, listen, I did research. So, you know, and this is, and you've got to enjoy the complete irony of this woman sitting there talking to the Dalai Lama. You know, this is so priceless. You know, this is Epicureanism meets Stoicism in the modern age, when she's sitting there talking to the Dalai Lama. Because here's the Stoic and she's the Epicurean, and talking about materialism. Now, if that's not priceless, and she is the greatest philanthropist of our time.
Let's talk with Jane and Arnold. Jane, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
You're welcome. I kind of get kind of the feeling of Robert Shuler and Joyce Meyer. Robert Shuler does not, you know, he doesn't mention sin. And you've got to look, you know, yourself. He says the lack of self-esteem is the only, you know, sin. And then Joyce Meyer, I did it. If I can do it, you can do it. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thanks, Jane. Emily, your thoughts.
That is it. Mm-hmm. That is it. And where is the love in that? At the end of the day, if you have not brought someone to Christ, if Christ has not come into the life, where is the love in that? Where is the mercy in that? You know, mercy is greater than sin. And mercy is known only in Christ. So where is the love in that? You know, there is, again, from her website, she has this quote that says, someday after we have mastered the wind, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness the energies of love. And you look at that for a while, and you think of that, and then it goes on. He says, then for the second time in the history of the world, man will have discovered fire. And you think, wow, what does that mean? And then it begins to dawn on you. What a joke.
Mm-hmm.
What a joke this is. This is nothing more. This is nothing more than the dawn of Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
When love shall rule the sky. When love shall rule us all. You know, this is what this is. Because, and this is First Commandment. This is First Commandment, because we cannot fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That's what got us into trouble in the first place. That's why Christ was sent to us. That's why he died on the cross for our sakes. That's the meaning of the commandments. That's what mercy is, because he died in our place. Therefore, you know, the whole meaning Luther gave us for the commandments, because we cannot fear, love, and trust in him. He died in our place for our sakes. I'm sorry, it's the end of the day. You have to remember, I've been around children all day.
I understand it has a tendency to sap one's brain cells. You had something you wanted to say, Pam. Here.
Well, the other thing that I think, as much as it sounds like good stuff, really her message is a message of law. And you
yes,
get all this advice and what you can do and what you should do. And I see women all over America trying, striving, working hard at this. And at the end of the day, I wonder how successful they are. You know, I've been on a bazillion diets, and I'm still not the weight that I'd like to be. And I'm close to giving up on that, I guess. But the burden of this, you know, you sit there and you buy what she says. You listen to her speaker and, okay, and I'm going to do it. And if she can do it, I can do it. And then you fail. And I'm sure millions of women have failed. And then what? They are not getting the true message of forgiveness, life, and salvation that is found in no one else but Jesus Christ, the truth, and the life.
But she can't bring Christ in. If you bring Christ into it, here's the problem with bringing Jesus into it. Whenever that guy shows up, all men become sinners.
That's right.
And when all men can become sinners,
then she's a sinner.
Then she's a sinner. And if all men are sinners, then you have to turn to the cross. And that's where you learn what the punishment for sin is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you find out there are God's wrath is met out on one man. And where one man was is where we should be. But that's also where mercy, again, we turn to mercy and where God's love is. And again, where it is, mercy is greater than sin. But you still have to be saying, oh, there is such a thing as sin. There is such a thing as sin. But mercy is greater than sin. And here's, my mind is back in place. He promises grace and every blessing to all who keep these commandments. Who kept those commandments? Only one, Christ in our place. And then the conclusion, therefore, we also should love and trust in him and gladly do what he commands. And how can we do that? Only by being clothed in Christ. That is, only through baptism, only by being in him, only by being in Christ, only then do we have access to the Father, which means no pluralism, no pluralistic religions.
I want to hear from Oprah fans. Give us a call now, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. And if you want to call in anonymously, feel free to do that as well, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. When you email us, let us know where you're listening so we know where you're listening. Emily, it's a picture of kind of a church, in quotes, the Church of Oprah, with a bunch of saints, but no Savior. Is Oprah kind of the ultimate saint in all of this? In other words, she is the example, the one who leads by example, the one who inspires by example. She doesn't claim to offer anything except, you know, if you show up, she might give you a car. But she is ultimate example in this religion that is quickly growing around her.
Well, I've seen this example presented before. I used to live in Salt Lake City, Utah. And this is very much like the Mormon religion. So I'm not unaccustomed to seeing this sort of thing go on. I mean, this is a presentation of what, well, if you live the right life, if you live a perfect, holy type life, this is what happens. This is, you know, all these good things come to you. You know, I have a good life because I have done this. Because I have been good to myself, I have been good to other people, and so forth.
Jane calls from St. Louis. Jane, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I'm going to call myself an Oprah fan, and I'm also a Todd fan. Todd, listen, you know, I listen to you because I like to hear about religion. I look at Oprah because it's like an afternoon coffee clash. Oh, I'm just watching what one of my girlfriends are doing, what one of my friends are doing. You know, I don't take her seriously as a religious guru. And by the way, I don't like what Joyce Meyer or Schuler says either. I like to check in on everybody. But I think that Oprah is just doing a TV show. And prior to Oprah, I didn't watch TV back in the old days because I was too busy with my own life. Now I multitask, TV in the background while I'm still doing other things. But there used to be game shows or soap operas. I think she's at least a step above of that. And I don't really think that the women look to her to get religion. Or I don't think she's even subliminally trying to do that. I think she's just trying to make a TV product for people to watch.
All right. Thank you very much, man. There's no doubt, Pam, that she has very deftly and professionally produced a very watchable, very popular television program. She knows her medium and she knows her craft. There's no doubt about that. But would you go as far as Jane does in saying, look, it's really innocuous? I mean, and it's a step above a soap opera.
Well, I don't know. I mean, she's pretty believable, and there are a lot of people struggling and a lot of people obviously watching her and buying into this and now watching Dr. Phil after they met him on her show and buying the books. I wonder, though, what's going on behind the scenes that we don't see. How much of this is just a show, a way to boost ratings, to sell a product? Oprah's the product. And I wonder what it is like for her in her life, in the quiet times, and how full and wonderful her life is. And I also think when you've got the kind of money she has, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I mean, you've got a cook, you've got a trainer, you've got all of those things. It's almost I don't want to say cruel to tell struggling single moms on a low income to kind of imply that they can be like her without all the trappings. She's not one of us. She isn't.
Okay, Emily, someone's going to say, look, you're just being too hard on her because she never pretends to be a Christian minister, although she claims to be a Christian in some sense. How can you fault her for leaving Christ out of her message? She doesn't wear a collar, and she doesn't say that her program or her books or her magazine are explicitly religious. Your response.
If she is Christian, she still has a responsibility to, as a Christian, to lead them morally somewhere, not to leave him out completely. Her shows are so blatantly, some of her shows are blatantly devoid of morals, some of them, especially let's point directly to the show on the transgendering, where she was encouraging or supporting young children on the course of choosing their own gender. This is morally reprehensible. And I'll be that strong to say that.
Tim is calling from his car. Tim, welcome.
Yeah, I think that they become idols when they're that much of a celebrity, and that they don't discourage people from looking to them like idols, and that they do everything to promote themselves also. Oprah has her magazine, and as a male man, I see it, and she's always in the most glamorous looking, she's on the cover, just really got herself all glammed up and like she's a specialist on everything. I mean, it's a lot about her self-adulation, I think.
All right, thank you, Tim. It's a good point. Pam, your response to that?
I think there's some of that, and I think, we all like to live in a fantasy world. Sometimes when the chips are down, you look to someone else, you pick up a book, and maybe you look at Oprah and you think, well, maybe there is some hope for me because look at her. She has succeeded, and her story is one of coming really from nothing to having so much. But I don't know. I think at the end of the day, I find it kind of depressing personally because I'm never going to achieve that in this life. Never.
Emily, the sad thing for me, we've talked about the spirituality of Oprah Winfrey many times here. The sad thing for me is that what you will hear, quote unquote, preached on Oprah Winfrey, depending on when you're watching, is not really that different. This kind of you can do it spirituality is not really that different than the same kind of spirituality you will hear in many Christian churches on Sunday morning. Your thoughts on that with only about a minute here.
That's exactly what I find sad, too. I mean, that she's mainstream. And I think that's what the appeal is that she is she's right in there with it. And that's why she finds a niche and why she is not rejected. And why when she has these shows that are not bring in values that are not Christian and need to be questioned and need to be put under the microscope, they can't be, because her spirituality is so close to what they hear on Sunday morning. So then they can't, you know, people don't question them. I think what we are seeing is the making of a myth right under our eyes. And she is participating in it and having a good time with it. And we, you know, we just, Albert Mohler calls it, you know, a cultural seismic proportions. I can't remember exactly how he puts it. And it's affecting the church.
Before I let you go, Emily, with only about 20 seconds here, tell us a little bit about the blog that you work on when you're not sitting with all those kids in the classroom.
I've been a little silent with it the past couple of weeks because I've been so busy with the kids, but I've been talking about the kids. Every now and then I talk a little bit about feminism, things in the church, a book I've been reading. Lately I've been reading a wonderful book by Cato Byrne, Women Who Make the World Worse. I highly recommend it to people.
And how do we get to the blog, Emily?
It's Kwekunkwe Volt, and it's at Diaconatrix blogspot.com.
We're going to find it so we make sure that everybody knows how to get to it and read it. Deaconess Emily Carter is a deaconess at Good Shepherd Church and School in Brandon, Mississippi. Emily, thanks for being our guest.
I appreciate it. It's good to talk to Pam, too.
And Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Pam, thanks for joining us here in Studio A.
Thank you. It's great.
When we come back from this break, we've got audio open lines for your questions and your comments, and I'll have that. These bloggers don't know their own addresses. I'll have her address for her Emily Carter's blog right after this during audio open lines.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.